Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for The Voice of OC. I'm Norberto Santana Jr., publisher for The Voice of OC. This week, I'm joined by Reggie Mundicus and Vince Pohlmeier, who both have established the Friends Neighbors of Orange County Fairgrounds. This past week, it was a huge controversy at the fairgrounds. It surprised a lot of people. It comes almost a decade after there was a massive privatization battle there involving the Schwarzenegger administration. It kind of cut a little bit between Republican and Democratic lines on the local level. That battle ended, we thought, back in 2012. A new fair board was put into the institution. And here we are, half dozen years later. Reggie, you have been a force, a presence at the fair board meetings all the way through. Many people at some point kind of wondered why you were still there. The idea was that it had changed. We've seen some nice things there, Centennial Farms, the Heroes Hall exhibit, the new PAC Amphitheater. And yet, when we go back to it, we're beginning where we began off a half dozen years ago with the Equestrian Center, something that's rare in Orange County. It's disappearing. Equestrians woke up a few months ago to find out that their facility there, about 7 acres out of 150, was planned to be basically taken down. So, Reggie, tell me a little bit about this last dust up and why you stayed involved at the fairgrounds.
I stayed involved with the fairgrounds because it was more than about stopping the sale. The sale several years ago was caused by factors which also included problems with the administration and a lack of oversight by the board. When a new board was put in, I remained active in the community on this issue because I wanted to see changes in the board and in the administration to allow the property to better benefit the community which owns it. The Orange County Fairgrounds, if you're not familiar, is public property and was created when a piece of the old Santa Ana Army Air Base from World War II was carved off and sold to the state of California. The deed says that the property is supposed to be used as a park, a fairground, and for recreation. So I believe in the public good, I believe in public parks, and I want to see this agency be successful and to be transparent and helpful to the community, not harmful.
What is it about this last episode that you find alarming? What is it that you saw that hasn't changed?
Well, I found this last episode quite alarming because it was having the same nightmare over again, where you are told that your voice is being heard and that they're going to do something to help you, but you wake up to find out that the Equestrian Center is again proposed to be demolished, and that the board is not listening to you, and staff feels that they only work for the board and don't have to listen to the public.
What is your sense, Vince, this is something we were talking about a while ago, about what is the purpose of the fair? How should it be used?
Well, you know, Roberto, one of the things, and let me just interrupt myself for just a second. I want to thank a couple of people. We set up this new organization, Friends and Neighbors of the Orange County Fairgrounds. Anna Verska, a fellow director here, and I also want to mention a guy who's been instrumental in helping us out in fixture in Costa Mesa, Jay Humphreys, who couldn't be here today. But the focus from a half dozen years ago, I think we all looked at privatization and we lost sight of what was really the core issue on behind privatization, which is, what is the Orange County Fairgrounds for and who's it to benefit? It's 150 acres in the middle of Costa Mesa. It is a unique resource. But there is a certain mindset that was behind the privatization that never went away. And that was that we need to, quote, run, and I've heard this line a number of times, we need to run the fairgrounds like a business. I'm like, why? No one talks about running the California State Park System like a business. No one talks about, you know, running other state resources and other public resources. No one talks about running the Santa Ana Parks and Recs Department like a business. I mention that because one of the directors of the OC Fairgrounds is actually the director of the Santa Ana Parks and Recs System, Gerardo Moet. There's been this disconnect, and that disconnect, even though privatization went away, that disconnect of what the purpose of the fairgrounds is for was always there, and it never disappeared. And what this plan represents is that there's a core group who really want to see, who really view the fairgrounds and the future of the fairgrounds as being developed as a convention center and a large-scale entertainment venue, rather than a public resource to do what it's supposed to do, which is celebrate the culture and the agricultural history and the education of the public of Orange County. And what we have here in this whole planning fiasco, and that's the only word I can use to describe it as a fiasco, is one group basically taking that view and running with it. If you look at the process they put together, the fairgrounds management, and I distinguish between the fairgrounds management and the board that's appointed by the governor. The full-time fairgrounds management claims they put together all these meetings with, quote, the term they use is stakeholders. And the stakeholders, their view of stakeholders were, the stakeholders were them, themselves, their vendors, their contractors, the board. I can't remember who else it is. But at the very end, they had one meeting with the public. One meeting. And it was like as if, the, you know, like, oh, and yeah, and you guys in the public too. There was just no recognition that this is a public resource. It's supposed to be to the benefit of the public. It's owned by the public. And just up the road, we have the Anaheim Convention Center. We have other convention centers in Orange County. We have the Los Angeles Convention Center just 30 miles up the road. Huge convention centers. We have entertainment venues, commercial entertainment venues, all over Southern California, all over Orange County. It's not unique for those sorts of things, but it is a unique public resource, and it's not being used to benefit the public.
Reggie, talk a little bit about what the fairs have been like, how much money comes in.
The fairgrounds makes about $45 million a year in revenue and operates at about an 18 to 20% profit margin. So they are able to save between $6 and $8 million a year. For the fair specifically during the 5 weeks of the summer, attendance has been flat, which is typical for county fairs around the country. During the fair, the actual 23 days, they'll sell between $7 and $8 million of alcohol, which is troubling for many people because there's so public safety issues that have presented that haven't been fully vetted in public. The business model of the fairgrounds relies upon the annual fair for the bulk of the revenue, and they're trying to broaden out into year-round events like a convention center, and that's why they hired a CEO who used to work at the Phoenix Convention Center and was instrumental in the expansion of the Phoenix Convention Center. Once the Phoenix Convention Center was expanded, the large hotels moved in, and that forever changed the area. The master site plan brought out two sets of plans, both of which the public found disturbing. The September plan wanted to transform the property into a convention center with buildings that could compete with Anaheim, which is surprising because that's a really tough market to crack, and who wants to take on the largest convention center on the West Coast head-to-head? The September plans also included a layout which did not support having the annual Orange County Fair as we currently know it, and included a wind turbine farm in the parking lot. We're not talking the little wind turbine at Centennial Farm, the little wooden thing with the weather vane on the back. No, we're talking the wind turbine farms that are used to generate electricity and to sell electricity to people. That plan was widely rejected by the public, and then the changes were done in a back room outside the public's view. The April plan, in many ways, was worse. At least the September plan saved the equestrian center. The April plan had the equestrian center being demolished to make a 245-space RV park. That RV park is larger than the RV park at Pomona Fairplex and is intended for year-round use. The plans also included the first thing to be done would be doubling the size of the administration building. It's hard to understand why anybody in their right mind would place doubling the size of the administration building first when there are numerous structures on the property, including those used for food, which have life safety issues and are marked for demolition during the master site plan build-out. Why not start with the life safety issues first? Why not fix the food facilities first?
And then the other thing about that master site plan that's interesting is last July of 2017, they had the one and only meeting to solicit public input, which was held in the hangar building at the fairgrounds. And what came across in that meeting was the public, there were certain things that the public wanted, and there were certain things that there was a consensus they didn't want. One of the things that there was a strong consensus, for example, that they didn't want was a couple of years earlier, between the time of the privatization and this most recent event, there had been a proposal to build a multi-story parking garage on the northwest corner of the property at the intersection of Fairview and Arlington, in conjunction with Orange Coast College, which sits off at that corner. this was actually, I think, a proposal made by Orange Coast College, actually not by the fairgrounds, but those are all residential neighborhoods. There's schools all around that. The public outcry was very strong. Don't do that. If you're going to have to build, for example, a parking structure, build it over on the opposite side of the property next to the 55 freeway and Newport, which is heavily traveled over already. OCC ended up dropping the plan. So this master site plan comes back. So what is back in this master site plan? Multi-story parking garage on the northwest corner of the property with a footbridge to OCC as a tie-in to OCC. Which, when we saw that, first thing that Reg did was contacted OCC, and OCC said, we have no idea where that came from. We're not interested in that at all.
Now, there's an interesting thing. You guys, like a lot of community groups, have done a lot of public records requests out of the agency. You guys shared with me one records request that you had from Ken Carnes to the consultants getting the study together. And for many of us that cover government, you kind of always, you know, it's that saying, never ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. And it seems that this happens a lot with these consultant studies, that they're largely driven by staff. And lo and behold, the emails that you guys find in your PRA request shows that the VP of Operations, Ken Carnes, is communicating with the planning consultants and essentially giving them a wish list of things that he'd like to see on. And lo and behold, despite the public being against, let's say, several of those items, like the parking garage, like realigning the mall to the entrance, all of those things are included in that consultant's report. Now, I did ask for the fairgrounds staff to have somebody here. It was a little bit short notice, so they couldn't make it. They did send me a statement that explains a little bit about why Ken Carnes was giving direction to the consultants. I'll go ahead and read that, and then you guys can talk a little bit about what your sense of that issue is. Here's the statement that was sent to us by Terry Moore, the spokesperson for the Orange County Fairgrounds. In March 2017, Ken Carnes, VP of Operations, provided the consultants with a list of potential opportunities that might be considered in the master site plan. The list was based on his observations on the condition and use of the grounds during his first 8 months on the job. There were many items on that list the public might not know were needed, such as restroom upgrades and storm water management. Based on input from stakeholder groups, the board, and the public, some items on the list were ultimately included in the various draft versions of the plan, and others were not. The board of directors also provided initial input to the consultants when the project was initiated, since this is a board of directors project. The consultants take direction on the plan from the board's master site plan task force members, Douglas LaBelle and Robert Ruiz, who have worked collaboratively with consultants and staff throughout the entire process. Decisions on the plan are made by the board of directors. What's your sense on that?
Well, I have a number of things taken. One of the things that's very telling about that is the fact that they said stakeholders, the board, and the public. Well, who are these stakeholders other than the public and the board appointed by the governor to oversee this thing? I also find it exceedingly disingenuous. I'm not taking fault with the spokeswoman, but the senior management of the board, it's Kathy Kramer, CEO, Ken Carnes, VP of Operations, Michelle Richards, who I believe her title is, I believe, Vice President of Development.
Business Development.
They have publicly stated, and certain board members have backed them up on this, that they run the fairgrounds and that the role of the board isn't to direct how the fairgrounds operates. It's to advise them in the operation of the fairgrounds. Okay. And so for them to now suddenly say, oh, it's Doug LaBelle and Robert Ruiz, I think is exceptionally disingenuous. I mean, one of the interesting things was, I don't recall at any public meeting, and I don't recall at any board member ever making an issue, for example, of two of the things I found most telling. One was in that email from March of 2017, was 2 months, 3 months before they ever had a public meeting. And so many of the things on that quote-unquote wish list show up in this master site plan. One of them is a perimeter security fence around the entire fairgrounds. Now, already the core buildings are already surrounded by security fence, so now it's going to be double fenced. The parking lot will be fenced as well. They want to put a security perimeter fence all the way out at the end. What the public wanted was more green space where there are parking lots currently and more access, not less.
More interactivity.
You know, picnic grounds for the public could use, you know, more park-like setting, not more parking lots and RV parks surrounded by a security fence. Lo and behold, what shows up in the master site plan? Perimeter security fence. And another one is, Ken Carnes wanted to, quote, align the main entrance with the main mall. Now, for those people who've been to the fairgrounds, the main mall runs north and south out of the hangar building, okay? Now, the issue of the driveway, the issue of the main entrance, did come up in the public meetings. Came up quite a lot. And there was a strong consensus that the fairgrounds should move the main entrance over off of Newport Boulevard so that traffic could flow in off the freeway, off the 55 freeway easily. And when there were traffic backups, they could stack traffic, they could stack parking traffic, waiting traffic.
Makes sense.
On site, not on the streets. So what comes up with the master site plan? Not that proposal, which had strong support from the public at that one public, the only public meeting they held. But Ken Carnes' proposal from 3 months earlier to move the driveway, still coming off of Fair Drive, move it 100 feet, simply so it aesthetically lines up with the main mall, to the tune of, what was the cost of that?
$50 million.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a huge amount of money. And for no return on investment. There's no, that's a sunk cost that will never pay for itself again and doesn't have any other benefit. And simply, by the way, because they're moving the driveway closer to the intersection of Newport Boulevard and Fair Drive, they're moving it southeast along Fair Drive, will undoubtedly make traffic worse. And one of the things that comes out of this whole plan, and this has been true, by the way, going back to the things going on at the PAC AMP and other things, the current management of the fair, there's not an abiding concern about how their operations are impacting the neighborhoods around them. There are multiple schools to the north, or just across Arlington. There's a park, Tewinkle Park, a children's park. There are daycare centers, churches, and it's in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And yet they want to do things which massively increase traffic and create noise and loud concert events year round. And there's very little concern on the impact on the public.
Now, Reggie, in some ways here, looking at some solutions or where do we go from here, one thing I heard talked about was this idea that potentially they would maybe institute a performance auditor of sorts, something to help a part-time board be able to stand toe-to-toe with a permanent staff and actually investigate or look at different issues. What's your sense of that proposal? What do you think the future of the fair looks like?
I support the creation of a performance auditor and also using other resources available to audit what's going on and also instituting corrective action. On the master site plan, we are asking for the master site plan process to be stopped, for all of the papers involved to be gathered and presented to the public, and for a complete audit of what caused this problem. Why are we out over $250,000 and have nothing to show for it? We need to have those answers in place before we can move forward on another master site plan, which has the full and clear participation of the public and puts the public first over the needs of board members, staff members, and contractors at the fairgrounds. This year's fair has a more agriculture focus, and that's been at behest of the board. So they're going to continue much of the same decor as they had last year, with the farm animals and the trivia to teach people about food and agriculture. But unfortunately, while that's a good point, it's really window dressing because we have very serious systemic issues at the fairgrounds which must be addressed. The email from the spokesperson shows that it's unclear who's in charge or who wants to be in charge. This makes me suspicious because when you have that situation, people passing the buck, sometimes you find out it's for a very good reason and it's not to the benefit of the public. We need to do more digging. There's something going on at the fairgrounds that makes people uncomfortable and something that where things just aren't adding up, and we need to find out what's going on and correct it.
If I may, I started out my professional career as an aerospace engineer. And whenever there's an accident, a plane crash or some sort of failure, one of the very first things you do, you stop and you investigate and you have to answer three questions. The first question is, what happened? The second question is, how did this happen? And the third question is, why did this happen? And so this master site plan, in my opinion, is an unmitigated planning disaster. There's been over $250,000 on this plan. And it doesn't reflect what the public wants. A, we got to stop it. Secondly, we got to figure out, what were the events that led up to this? How did these things get in this plan? How did we get to this spot? And then we ask the question, why did we get to this spot? I have my suspicions. I've already told them. I think that's because there's a failure to recognize what the fairgrounds is supposed to be and supposed to be for. And Reg is more optimistic about the fair than I am personally. I grew up in the Midwest. I've attended a lot of fairs. I'm probably one of the few people who actually goes to the fairgrounds who actually did grow up on a farm. And one time I made a comment that if you blindfolded me and dropped me in the Orange County Fair, I would have a hard time telling you that I was in Orange County. We need a fair that represents Orange County, and we need a fair that represents the cultures and the history and a whole bunch of stuff in Orange County. I mean, why is it that my choices of when I go to the fair, and you can't tell on a podcast, but I eat more than I should. But why is it my culinary choices at the Orange County Fair are almost exactly the same as they would be at the Texas State Fair or the Iowa State Fair? Why in Orange County can't I go to the fair and get a really good bowl of pho? Or why can't I get a fish taco? What is going on that it's deep fried turkey legs? And there's no sort of cultural events that represent the culture of Orange County.
Reggie Mundegas?
Yes.
Vince Ballmeyer, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about the future of the Orange County Fairgrounds. Who does it really serve? I'm excited to stay in touch with you guys as we continue to monitor this process. The Orange County Fairgrounds officials have agreed to come and join us at the later podcast so we can get their perspective on things. And I'm sure, again, it's going to be an interesting community conversation, especially going into the fair this summer. For those of you listening, thanks again for joining us on OC. Make sure to head over to Facebook and tell us what you think. Like us on iTunes. Stay in touch with this newsroom. It's here for you.